special welcome to any visitors we may have. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Michael Risk, and I'm the Ministry Apprentice here at Cornerstone. And today we are doing a once-off sermon and looking today at the second letter of John. And I'd like to open with this question. What makes us a disciple of Christ? Or put another way, how would we describe a Christian? While I was studying this passage, I was confronted with the question, what makes us a disciple of Christ? How would we answer the question? How would those around us answer this question? If we were to ask our friends, if we were to ask our neighbours, if we were to ask the city of Hobart, how would they describe a Christian? What kind of responses would we get? I imagine we would get a variety of responses, some negative and some positives. Answers that would include, Christians are judgmental. They think they are better than everyone else. They are out of touch with our culture. They're backward. They're behind the times. They're extreme. They're too conservative. Maybe even the response, they're crazy. But we would also get the answer, Christians are generally good people. They are charitable. They're loving. They have a huge acceptance for human worth and diversity. What would you say? How would you describe a Christian? How could we tell that the person next to us is a disciple of Christ? What would we say? Would we say, well, the person next to me is in church, so that's got to mean something. And they're also in a growth group. Well, that's not a tick for them. I also know that they're a good person. They're very generous with their time and money. And I know that they have a big heart for the needs of the church. Yes, I think that's how I could tell that they are a disciple of Christ. Brothers and sisters, would we agree with this description? Does this description describe a disciple of Christ? How would we explain what it means to be a disciple of Christ? Would we give this answer? Or would we give a different one? Cornerstone, please have your Bibles open to the second letter of John as we explore together today's passage and the question of what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ. But first, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will be with us today. Lord, give us an understanding of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word this day. Lord, be with me as I speak. Help me to speak clearly. And Lord, I pray for us here at Cornerstone and commit this church to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we open up the second letter of John and start reading this letter, we may ask the question, should I be reading this? Is this letter meant for me? Isn't this a letter between the elder, who we know to be the Apostle John, and some lady? The answer is yes. Yes, we should be reading this letter. I am convinced, as well as other commentators, that the lady described here isn't an actual person, but a church. And the children described are the congregation of that church. The language used by the elder suggesting that he is talking to a community of people. Commentators have suggested the Apostle John is using the words lady and children to protect that local church from persecution, fear that the letter may fall into the wrong hands. So why should we read this letter? Because the Apostle John had a message that this church needed to hear. And it is a message that we need to hear also. The message of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Today we'll be learning what it means to be a disciple of Christ from the following 2 points. The first point, we are a disciple of Christ when we walk in love. And the second, we are a disciple of Christ when we walk in truth. We are a disciple of Christ when we walk in love and when we walk in truth. Let's explore these first 2 points together. The first point, we are a disciple of Christ when we walk in love. Reading from verses 5 and 6. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. The Apostle John is requesting that we do 3 things. That we love one another, that we do this in obedience to God's commands, and that we walk in love. And this is from a command that we have had from the beginning. The Apostle John is asking us to follow the command given to us by Jesus. But what was this command? Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, and we'll look together at chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The elder is saying that we are to walk in obedience to God's commands, that we walk in love. The question is, what does this look like? Walking in love. If we were to look up the word love in the dictionary, what would we find? The definition of love is quite broad. Love is both a noun and a verb. It could be used within a romantic context. It could be used to describe the love a parent has for their child. It might be used to indicate a preference. It's also used in a game of tennis to indicate a score of 0. The definition of love is so broad, and because of its broadness, we can sometimes miss the actual meaning of the word. I remember a few years ago on an episode of Q&A, our Prime Minister at the time said, the fundamental principle of the New Testament is one of universal love, loving your fellow man. He went on to say that if we get caught up on the issues that are happening in our society, we miss the centrality of the gospel. Is the centrality of the gospel loving your fellow man? I consider many in our society think so, that Christians should be prioritizing loving others rather than pushing on the other agendas of Christianity, which they consider to be judgmental, backward, conservative, extreme, or even crazy. But is this how we should be defining love? No. As Christians, we need to be reminded and also remind those around us what it means to be walking in love. So from the Bible, what does it mean to be walking in love? Brothers and sisters, we have to come back to the command given to us by Jesus and the context in which he gave it. Jesus gave the command to his disciples in the context of his departure. In the Gospel of John from chapter 13, we are told he was about to leave this world, and he washed his disciples' feet, saying, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Later he said, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Then later in the chapter, the command. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And in chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The definition of love is broad. But how we perform love as a Christian is done by obeying what Christ has taught us. We are to walk in love, to love the way that Jesus loved. We are to walk in love in accordance with his teaching and his commands. John 14:15 says, if you love him, you will obey his commands. Cornerstone. Walking in love is one half of the formula of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. The other part of the formula is walking in truth. And for this, we come to our second point. We are a disciple of Christ when we walk in truth. Focusing on verse 4 and verses 7 to 11. So reading from verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And then from verses 7 to 11. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. In verse 4, the Apostle John is sharing his joy that some of the church members are walking in the truth. This is one of the Father's commands, that we walk in truth. But what does it mean to walk in truth? From verse 7 through to verse 11, we are told the answer. And we are told two things. One, don't be deceived. And two, stay in the teaching of Christ. Let's look at these two things, shall we? The first, don't be deceived. In verse 7, the elder is warning us that there will be many deceivers and antichrist. The question is, who are these people and how can we recognize them? Deceivers and antichrists include those that deny the incarnation and divinity of Christ. They deny the Father. They are liars. Simply put, they are opposed to Christ. They will deceive those around them. They are doing the work of the evil one. It is easy to recognize deceivers and antichrists that are opposed to the gospel. Those that are around us who blatantly deny Jesus is the Christ. Deny that there is a God. For example, Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion. It would be widely agreed upon that he is one of the deceivers or antichrists that we need to be aware and cautious of. Yet, there are deceivers and antichrists that can also be the wolf in sheep's clothing. In Matthew 7:15, we are told, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Deceivers and antichrists will also come from the church. Those that are considered to be followers of Christ. One of the greatest lies I have heard from the Catholic Church is that if you are a good person, you can be saved from hell and the judgment of God. Growing up in the Catholic Church, this is what I was taught. That as long as I'm a good person, I will go to heaven. What a terrible lie. Nowhere in the Bible does it say this. By teaching this, the Catholic Church distorts the gospel, the one thing that can save. I want to quickly say that I do not consider in any way that if you are Catholic, that you are unsaved. I'm not saying that. But if you allow yourself to be deceived by some of the teaching that comes out of the Catholic Church, you are in danger. If you consider that you are going to heaven because you're a good person, you're not. Don't let yourself be deceived. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ alone. Coming back to our passage. When we read verse 8, we read that these deceivers will attempt to ruin what we have worked for. What does this mean? It could mean two things. The deceivers will try and corrupt our understanding of the truth and convince us of these false teachings. But they will also corrupt those around us, convincing our society that the gospel preached is a false gospel and should be done away with. Cornerstone. To ensure that we are walking the truth, we mustn't be deceived by these false teachers, antichrists, and those that deny Jesus. We must be guiding the gospel and always defending it in our society. But we also need to stay in the teaching of Christ. Reading from verses 9 to 11. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. What is the Apostle John saying here? He is instructing us that as a disciple of Christ, we need to walk in the truth by remaining in the teaching of Christ. But what is this teaching exactly? To answer this, we come back to the context in which the command of Christ was given. The disciples at the time the command of Jesus was given didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying. However, the washing of the feet was meant to be understood in context of how Christ served and loved us when he was nailed to the cross. When Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. We need to love in the context of this teaching. This is how we are to show love. Loving humanity by desiring their salvation. Brothers and sisters, how are we meant to show love to one another? By speaking the gospel to one another. And speaking the gospel to those around us. Telling and teaching those around us about the love of Christ. That Christ came and died for sinners. Loving and desiring that those around us would escape the wrath of God. There is a man who visits the church office a couple times a week. And it's always a pleasure speaking with him. Because he will remind me about the gospel. He will remind me that I am a child of God. And that when we come to God, we need to come from that safe position of sonship. The devil will try and deceive us and tell us that we are not worthy of being a child of God because of our sin. The devil will question us. How could you be a child of God? Just look at your sin. So we need to speak the gospel to ourselves. Speak in the gospel to one another. And speak the gospel to those around us. In his day-to-day business, this man will speak the gospel to a variety of people. And sometimes, this includes non-Christians. Cornerstone, we need to bring the teaching of Christ with us in our encounters. This is how we show love. This is how we walk in love. And we need to stay in the teaching of Christ by being reminded what Christ has done for us. By doing this, we will continue to walk in the truth. By doing so, we will love how Christ loved. We can all agree that to be a disciple of Christ, we need to be walking in the truth by staying in his teaching. But some of us may ask, these verses also tell us that we shouldn't associate with false teachers. Does that mean we shouldn't associate with people who aren't Christian? The elder is not saying this. Rather, he is warning us to not endorse or support those around us that are false teachers and deceivers. We need to ensure that we aren't persuaded by them. The elder tells us that anyone who is persuaded and accepts their false teaching is sharing in the work of the evil one. I left the Catholic Church at 21. I couldn't be a member of the Catholic Church anymore, knowing that it was promoting a number of false teachings. I couldn't give financially. I couldn't attend anymore. To still be part of the Catholic Church, I would have been sharing and supporting in their false teaching. I would have been sharing in the work of the evil one. Brothers and sisters, remain in the teaching of Christ and support those around you that are teaching the Word of God. Promote the gospel. Tell those around you the truth, that salvation is found in Jesus. Be a disciple of Christ by walking in the truth, by walking in love. Love those around us as Christ loved. Desire the salvation of humanity. I want to end with this final observation. In verse 12, we are told that the Apostle John has much to say to the church. However, he doesn't. And this makes me ask the question, why did he choose to write this down? The reminder to walk in truth and love. Because the church needed to hear it. We need to hear it. We needed to be reminded what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We need to be reminded that we need to walk in love by loving the way Christ loved. We need to be reminded that we need to walk in truth by guiding ourselves from the deceivers and the antichrists and just stay in the teaching of Christ. When we are asked the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? We can answer. A disciple of Christ is someone who is walking in love and truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time and your word. Lord, I pray that you would be transforming us to be a disciple of Christ. Help us to continue to walk in love and truth. Help us to share the gospel with our friends and family. Help us to love the way Christ loves. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.